Following days of popular protest, the Egyptian military deposed Egypt's first democratically elected president, Mohamed Morsi, and installed an interim civilian leader, the head of Egypt's constitutional court. Now, Morsi and many of his top aides are now under house arrest, and at least 300 members of the Muslim Brotherhood have been arrested. Today, the Brotherhood and its supporters are staging demonstrations all across the country. It is Friday, prayer day, after all. They're doing that in protest of what they're calling a military coup, and that term could have serious consequences for U.S.-Egyptian relations. The United States is required by law to cut off non-humanitarian aid to Egypt in the event of a coup, so the word matters. Joining us now is Mona Makram Abaid, who resigned on Saturday as a member of the parliament in Egypt. She's also a political science professor at the American University in Cairo. Mona, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for being with us. Why resign your seat in parliament?
This was in support of the protesters, the youth protesters, who have started an extremely creative movement called Tamarrud, which means rebel. We were all behind them, and we thought, you know, that there was no place for us anymore in a parliament that is a lame duck, after all.
As an elected official, however, even though you've resigned, it must give you pause that other elected officials, Mohamed Morsi, the president, members of the Muslim Brotherhood, were elected after all, and after only a year, have now been deposed.
You know, the ballot box is just a mechanism of democracy, but it is not particularly democracy. Now, this was a popular movement in Egypt for democratic change that resists dictation from anyone or autocracy in the name of religion. So I believe that if the army had not intervened to restore order, we would have seen a bloodbath, and we would have seen, and Mr. Morsi would have been one of the targets of the bloodbath. So I think this came also in his favor, what happened.
Well, going forward, Mona Makram Abaid, there must be concern about inclusion of the Muslim Brotherhood. There have been arrests, of course. Mohamed Morsi remains under house arrest, and hundreds of his colleagues. How important is it going forward to make sure that the Muslim Brotherhood and their millions of supporters are included in the process and not marginalized?
Absolutely. We do not want to repeat the blunders that the Muslim Brotherhood has made by being extremely exclusive, by ostracizing everyone that was not, you know, one of their supporters, by putting them in prison, by preventing them even to express their opinion and so on. So I believe that the Muslim Brothers must be included as a political faction and not as a religious missionaries. We don't need clerics to impose on us what they want. But as a political party, they have all the right to be in the political scene. They should be included and then compete and let the best man win.
Unrestricted, in other words, if a different Muslim Brotherhood representative or indeed Mr. Morsi himself can win the next election, that's fine with you?
If he wins through the ballot box, yes, it is. I doubt it very much. Look, Mr. Morsi is a past president. He has been refused by the whole people of Egypt, but three-quarters of the people. As you can see, the mass demonstrations were the biggest in the history of Egypt.
There is concern at the same time that some hard lessons are being learned by some of the more radical members of the Muslim Brotherhood after decades of repression under the Mubarak regime and even before, dating back to Nasser, not being able to participate, finally participating in democracy, having that unravel for whatever reason, that the lesson for many of these people might be that violence is the only way to further their goals, not the ballot box in the first place.
Look, first of all, yes, they've been harassed, but they have had relations with every government, every system, whether it was Nasser until he put them out, whether it was Sadat until they killed him, whether it was Mubarak, and so on. So, I mean, they were not out of the picture. They were in prison, yes. They spent a lot of time in prison. They were probably very badly treated, ill-treated. But when they came to power, they wanted to dominate, not to participate. They wanted to dominate the whole scene. They wanted to project their own Islamic project, which is refused by everybody else or by the majority of the people who are literate. who do not want the spirit of Egypt to change. We want a democratic, civilian, modern, secular Egypt. We do not want to have religion imposed on us. We do not want to have the clerics to have the upper hand. The army today is here to restore order. It is not a coup. It is according to the demands of the people who have asked them to come.
Mona Makram Abaid, you make the point that it's not a coup. As you know, I'm sure there's a debate now going on in this country about whether to call it a coup or not, and there are billions of dollars at stake. What does it mean for Egyptian stability to you if political pressure in the United States leads to a reduction in military or foreign aid? Because people are talking about that.
Look, the main pivots of Egyptian-U.S. relations are the military relations between both countries, who have survived for more than 50 years now. I don't think that it's the time today to jeopardize that, and particularly when what is happening in Egypt is a popular revolution. Since we are celebrating Independence Day, you should see what Thomas Jefferson, the hero of democracy, always said. Every generation needs a new revolution, and experience has shown that even on the best forms of government, those entrusted with power have in time and by slow operations perverted it into tyranny. So the spirit of resistance to government is valuable on certain occasions, and I wish it to be always alive. I'm quoting Thomas Jefferson, and I think that the United States should analyze very carefully what is happening today in Egypt and realize that it is the majority that spoke. It is the people of Egypt who have spoken, not the army.
Mona Makram Abaid is a former member of parliament who resigned just on Saturday and a political science professor at the American University in Cairo. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, as you just heard, Mona Makram Abaid says what's happening in Egypt is a popular revolution, not a coup. But the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't see it that way. And as generals forcibly removed Mohamed Morsi from power earlier this week, many Islamists see the Egyptians' military's actions as a coup. And the Brotherhood's loss of power could also have profound implication for political Islamists throughout the world. Shadi Hamid, Director of Research at the Brookings Doha Center. Welcome, Shadi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You have an editorial in the pages of today's New York Times, which speaks to both of these issues, and I want to deal with them in turn. And let's deal with the first one. You have lots of warnings. Given the history of repression of the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamist movements in countries throughout the Middle East, urging a lot of caution about how the Muslim Brotherhood is treated now that they're out of power.
Exactly. You know, watching what's going on now, I feel like we're repeating history and not learning from past lessons. When you exclude people and block them from the democratic process, they're going to consider other means outside of the political system. That's dangerous because they might consider violence. And if we look at previous historical episodes, after the Brotherhood was brutally repressed in the 1950s and 60s, there were breakaway factions from the Brotherhood that became militant and even resorted to terrorism. And that's eventually how we got Al-Qaeda and other groups of that ilk. Authoritarianism can have a radicalizing effect. And then we see Algeria in 1992, where again, Islamists were oppressed, but this time it was a little bit different. The main Islamist party there was on the brink of winning the elections, and before it could take office, the Algerian military stepped in and blocked that. And what happened is you saw Islamists in Algeria resorting to armed struggle against the regime. I hope that doesn't happen in Egypt, and it's still too early to tell which way it'll go. But if we insist on excluding Islamist groups, including the Muslim Brotherhood, from the political process, then we have to worry about the consequences. They might not be obvious right away, but there could be real consequences over the long term. And it's also worth noting that there's already reports of militants taking action against military checkpoints and a local airport in the Sinai area. So maybe we are seeing a very quick reaction.
Yes.
We don't know if that's in direct response to the coup of the other day, but there's already signs that some Islamists are moving in that direction.
Near the Gaza border, we've seen those reports. Well, before we let you go, Shadi Hamid, the other issue that you speak to, you heard Mona Makram Abaid say that U.S. aid to the military to the tune of $1.5 billion, she implied it promotes stability. Now is not the time to shake things up with the backing of the military in Egypt. You write that the United States needs to reconsider its aid to the military because we're promoting a system that's not working.
Yeah, Mona Makram Abaid is wrong on basic factual things. There is no debate about whether or not this was a coup. By any definition of the word, it was a coup. Not only that, it was a textbook coup. It couldn't be any more coup-like than it was. So I understand that some Egyptians are sensitive to that word because it has a negative connotation. But words matter, and we have to call things by what they are. So based on that, legally, the U.S. is obligated, it's not even a choice, is obligated to suspend aid until democratic elections are held.
But you and I both know that the U.S. is going to do what's in its interest here, and you're arguing that it may be in the U.S. interest to reconsider this money.
Well, I think it's important to use the lever of military aid to try to put pressure on the new regime in Egypt to bring Islamists back into the political process. That's the really crucial thing. And we're already seeing signs of a crackdown. As you mentioned earlier, at least 300 Muslim Brotherhood members are arrested or being in the process of being arrested. So that is, we're already seeing some very concerning indications. And I thought it was interesting when you asked Makram Abaid, what if Morsi or another Brotherhood leader wants to run for elections or even president? And she seemed, you know, not very enthusiastic about that. And the question is, will the Brotherhood be allowed to compete on an equal footing, or will they be prevented again?
And the Obama administration reportedly is reviewing military aid to Egypt. We don't know exactly what that review means, but we will be watching it, and so will Shadi Hamid, director of research at the Brookings Doha Center. Read his op-ed in the pages of the New York Times today. Shadi, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.